Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to another show of Keeping It Brief, where we read your brevities. And today we're having technical problems. Our Pam Ray has no internet, so Phil will be joining us. I think maybe Pam is there. Are you there, Pam?
No.
Pam isn't there. Okay, so, well, I have Diane there, and Phil will be joining us today. So we have a board packed now today again with your brevities, your wonderful poems. We have carryovers from the Dark Show. A few, and then we're going into the Blood Moon, Flower Moon, Blood Flower Moon theme, and then we're going to go into open poetry. So, So how are you girls?
Things are good. Things are good. How are you, Naomi? Did you watch the hockey game last night?
No, I missed it. I was on the radio. How did it go?
We lost, but it was a good battle. It was a good battle. So tomorrow night's second game.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So we don't have our Pam today, but we got Phil. So we got the best of both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Phil, how are you?
I'm doing well. So far, so good. It's Tuesday. It's early in the week. It's 1 o'clock. It's early in the day, so there's still time for things to go wrong. But I'm hopeful.
the weather here, last week it was so nice. I was swimming in the pool and everything, and this week the temperatures just went way down. So cold out. It's crazy weather. But anyway, so I look at my pool and I'm I tear up because, I'm a swimmer and I'm in the pool every friggin' day, during the summer there. And I just have to go for my swim every day. But, when the water is like 60 degrees, kind of cold. So we have a board packed. So, Diane, whenever you're ready, my dear, you just go ahead and kick off the show.
Absolutely. Now, I have one up there. I'm just going to ask up front, is Phil going to post them in Late Night Sports?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'll post them in Brevity. Perfect. Okay, I have the first one up, and it's called The Labyrinth by Kitty the Naughty Poet and Naomi. Would you like to give that a read?
Okay. The labyrinth. The labyrinth is overgrown with the branches of my thoughts, paths bathed in darkening shadows, sweet, tickling, leafy dreams scratch against the skin of my essence, intertwined with the black ash of my life's bombshells, twisting and turning towards the light of twilight's pink flurry of petals, raining down around the labyrinth's trails, straining away from the darkness and towards the center of the overgrown labyrinth and my mind's eye. Wow, what a nice dark poem this is. It has a darkness to it, but also, it just has a hope there, I feel, and beauty also. What do you think, Diane?
Oh, Naomi, I remember a week or so ago you mentioned Kitty's work. And I thought, I have to read more on that. And this is a classic example. The labyrinth. I just feel like, yeah, it's dark, but it's promising. It's encouraging. The labyrinth is overgrown with the branches of my thoughts, past bathed in darkening shadows. The way she's worded this and tied it all together in the word form, the imagery, it's just fascinating. It just pulls me right into the piece and her last one and my mind's eye. And this is, I noticed when I was when you were reading this, Naomi, this piece is a piece that looks like it has an image there, but it doesn't, because the image in how she's writing it is so clear that it looks like it should have a little image there for us to refer to, but it doesn't. But I can see exactly what the image would look like.
Mhm. Yeah, it does paint, like you said, it does paint an image on your on our mind. It's true. You know, you just see those, like those branches of the thought, you know, like a labyrinth stretching out. Just an amazing write here by Kitty. And what are your thoughts, Phil?
Well, you know, I think this was an excellent brevity. I love the metaphor in it, and the imagery was really, really, really well done. It brought all those images to mind, and you could visualize it all. So great work, Kitty. Nice reading it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Kitty, for, you know, being a supporter to every one of our shows and always writing in. It's so appreciate it. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Okay, next we have a piece that's called Silent Generation by Cedar Chapman. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. Or is there... No, okay. Is there a SoundCloud for this? No. Okay. Ghostly screeches hail down from the sky as we hide in shadows, praying to survive, hoping we'll find a potato in the cinder and ash. We ooze out of our rat holes in oversized galoshes and broken laces, quilted dresses and muddy faces. Our dolls stained with blood, their limbs torn and twisted, and stuffed in an apple crate. Bones and tombstones grow in cornfields. Black rain beats its soil. Our hollow eyes sunken deep, our skin too young to have wrinkles. Each night we ask why, each day the same reply. The sound of angel horns and screams of people dying. End poem.
Oh, wow. You know, this is just such a poignant read. Just, you know, pulls at your heartstrings. My gracious, he painted such an amazing picture of a, you know, country at war. And, you know, the innocent that suffer here. And, you know, that picture, you know, those three girls there, it's just amazing. I wonder where that picture was drawn from, you know, but, you know, this is just such an amazing, powerful write, you know, the words used. And what did you think, Phil, sorry?
Okay, I had people forget my name many times. I thought this was a haunting piece. The imagery was very well done, and it was nicely penned. Yeah, it was haunting because when you were finished, it still left that lingering kind of effect with you. And I thought that was definitely an awesome thing to, well, you know, to have happen, because that's when you know you really hit the mark. So nice job, Cedar Chapman.
Yeah, you're exactly, you know, the lingering effect that's left with us. You know, I felt that, I still feel it, you know, wow, there's so much, you know, the imagery just tears you apart in this, you know, in this poem. And you think of Ukraine right away, my thoughts go to the poor people in Ukraine right now. What do you mm-hmm. think? What are your thoughts, Diane?
Yes, this piece, I saw yellow and blue all the way through. I just, the image, and it immediately took me to our current crisis and you know, it just hurt my heart. And seeing the faces of those little kids, because that's so real. That's real today. That's not the past. That's real today, 2022. Mm-hmm. And the way it's worded, it's dark, but it's amazing dark.
the words chosen, I don't think could ever have been better. Stuff them in the apple crate. Our skin too young to have wrinkles. Black rain beats the soil. I mean, every single word chosen powerfully puts out the image of what these young kids are going through. And I just, very, very well done. I'm just saying, I think this is when I have the tag. I've never tagged the poem on All Poetry yet, but this is when I have the tag.
I mean, this is one of the best poems from Cedar Chapman. I think guys read so far, well, at least one of the most, you know, deep and profound and powerful ones. I mean, bones and tombstones grow in cornfields. Black rain beats its soil. Yeah, wow. You know, just the imagery throughout is just amazing. Just, wow, what a powerful write, Cedar Chapman. Just amazing. And Diane, where are we going next? Hello, Diane.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, was I not loud enough? We have a piece called The Red Darkness by Lockdown Larks. And Phil, would you give that a read?
Sure thing. Thank you. The Red Darkness by Lockdown Larks. In the red darkness, voices will cry. When earth aches to sapiens corn, resourced earth 8 billion souls deny until red skies appear in early morn. Wake up, humanity. Break up, insanity. Nature's blight still in advance. Sapiens fight for their redress. Delighted in the reaper performs his dance and nothing left in the nuclear mess. Wake up, humanity. Break up, insanity. Just you and me now in this dream, the others left before tomorrow. Is it too late to shut out, shout and scream? The redness, red darkness brings only sorrow. Wake up, humanity. Break up, insanity. Dark is denied. Cry and die. Red is the dead. End it. End poem.
Wow. You know, in the red darkness, voices will cry. When earth aches to sapient scorn, resource deaths 8 billion souls deny till red skies appear nearly morn. You know, we are under the menace of nuclear war. It's scary, but, you know, that's why we're the countries are so, you know, on they're walking on eggshells now, you know, with approaching Russia. You know, they're not they're in an uproar with what's happening in Ukraine, but, you know, they're holding off. They're careful, you know, because they don't want a nuclear war. That would be, you know, just awful. But, you know, I think Lockdown Larks reflects, you know, that in this poem, the 8 billion souls, the red sky, this red skies, you know, after a nuclear outbreak. What did you think, Diane?
I thought this was so powerful. This, you know, one of the things, the definition of insanity is...
We're losing you, Diane.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, maybe talk a little louder. I don't know. You're kind of like not as usual, not the...
Okay, let me try this. Is this better?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, so the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And isn't that the way man has functioned for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and centuries of years? Of we do the same thing, but we expect different results. And war is never going to give us a different result. War is always going to give us the same result, death and sadness and devastation. So, you know, I love how he repeats, wake up, humanity, break up, insanity, because the insanity that humanity practices human life and things with is unbelievable sometimes, and this is captured beautifully in this piece, beautifully.
Yeah, it is. Just something, yeah, very well worded indeed, very well put. And I agree with the repetition there of the lines. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I have to go along with the two of you on the repetition of those two lines. I thought that was well done, well thought out. I thought the whole piece was very well written. And I thought there were great stanzas throughout. I was actually looking to pull one of the stanzas, but I was like, how do you pluck one away from the others? I mean, it really, there's a lot said here. And, you know, it's a great thought for everyone to sit and mull over for a little while, because it's a crazy time. Crazy time.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. You know, this is so well worded. You know, the others left before tomorrow. Is it too late to shout and scream? You know, is it too late to correct, like Diane said, the errors of yesterday and not repeat them, you know, over and over and over again? It's like, it's crazy. Just a great write here by Lockdown Lars. And Diane, where does that take us next?
Okay, that takes us to Where Has That Girl Gone by S.S. M. And Naomi, would you give that a read?
Yeah, Where Has That Girl Gone by S.S.M. Where Has That Girl Gone? With innocent eyes behind the rimmed glasses, full of hope and zeal for life, to whom everything seemed past, the girl whose will seemed indomitable. Now I look in the mirror and all I see is an imposter with empty eyes and forced smiles, battered and bruised by life's struggles. Where has that girl gone? Wow, this is another, you know, we're in the dark pieces, obviously, right now. And, you know, this is another really striking write from S.S.M. here. How life struggles can take away the innocence. And she's so well expresses that in this poem. Diane, your thoughts?
This is dark and it's sad. It's Where Has That Girl Gone? I'm reading this thinking, are you talking about your own self, or is the writer talking about their own self? Because there's nothing like there's nothing like letting yourself down or breaking your own trust, I guess, and wondering where have you gone? Where am I? Because we come to places in life, and it takes us to places that we can't even imagine, and we question ourselves, how did I get here? And this is wonderful in putting together a question of, you know, where I think what the writer is pointing out is, where has my will gone? What of my will for life? And that's the message that's, that pointed out to me strong. Where has my will gone?
So agree there. Yeah. You know, the will to carry on. And Phil, your thoughts?
I think this was a great piece. I thought it was very well expressed. You know, life in the world around us can create such change in us all. And I think that that was really expressed here in a great way. You know, all our hardships change us. Everything changes us. You know, we're products of our environment. And I've always said that. So I think that this is just, yeah, that we should just put it into words, into better words. And nice piece. Nice piece, SSM.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah, it is. You know, very relatable, I think, to a lot of people, you know, to almost to everybody, to almost everybody, just touches you. So, yeah, like you said, feel great, great, right, SSM, amazing. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Well, next we are at a piece called Quarrels of the Moon and Sun by Keiku. And I'll go ahead and read that. The moon and the sun, not to be in the same sky, quarrel over philosophies of what is light to wandering clouds, blaming the other to hide from themselves. End poem.
Oh, that was an amazing read there. Amazing read there, Diane. Your thoughts on this poem? I'll go straight to you, Phil.
Well, you know, I think this is a wonderful piece. And, you know, it reminds you of that, you know, how the sun and the moon only meet once a day kind of poem that's out there. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. But I think that it's true, you know, they quarrel over philosophies of what is light. It's intriguing. It's interesting. It's thought-provoking. Because, you know, I don't think I've ever looked at it from that angle before. So, yeah, I think it was just nicely written, nicely penned. Absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, it's a unique, you know, you just picture there, unique right here. Very well done. What are your thoughts, Diane?
I enjoy this. The quarrels of the moon and the sun. Yeah, you know, the sun and the moon would have different philosophies of light, and it's interesting how it's put together the quarrel between the moon and the sun, light and what to do with it, and blaming others.
Whoops, we're losing you again, Diane. I don't know what's going on today. Hello, Diane?
Oh.
Whoops.
Well, she's still there. I just can't hear her.
Hi, Diane.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, that's better.
Oh, goodness.
It must be the connection, I don't know.
We have to get her some aluminum foil and a coat hanger. You know, just some
okay. Well, you can continue on, Diane. We heard you better there.
Okay, so what I was saying about that piece, or are we moving on, or did we all comment
no,
on that?
No, well, you can, yeah, we didn't hear you very well, so, yeah, maybe you can comment there.
I'm laughing because Ben on the board, stop running away, Diane, you just can't get the staff. Funny, that's funny. Okay, so yeah, this piece was, like I say, it made me smile. I smiled even though it was dark. Just the thought of the sun and the moon quarreling over the philosophy of light, that just made me smile. It was really well done. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you think of it, you know, the sun, the light. You know, in our book, well, in everyday life, it represents light, and you know the moon would represent the darkness. So, of course, like you said, Diane, they would have different philosophies, and you know it is, you know, a really unique and very creative poem, I think, here by Kai Kubert. So, just is amazing, amazing, creative look on everything, and just you know, kind of philosophical and spiritual at the same time, this little brevity. So profound, you know, so few words. So bravo, Kaikyu, Miss this right. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, next we have, can you hear me? we have a bluish lute by Jack Bloom. And Phil, would you give that one a read?
Sure thing. Okay, a bluish lute by Jack Bloom. A temple stood ashore like a tree of hell. How many sorry knights had drowned tearfully before the storyteller showed a bit of mercy? A priest was said to sing to the moonlight water with his bluish biwa, playing tunes of grief. No one knew his shape, obscured in the time. One uncanny night, the lute resounded low, gradually offshore, intermittently, like a shabby voice, straying to the doom. A sea of armored ghosts weeping out their past listened to the biwa, full of purple sorrow. The pandemonium was empty, actually. End quote.
Wow. I'm discovering Jack Blue every time. Every write he writes is just amazing. There's just a wonderful tale here told. What is, I have to ask you, what is a biwa?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know, but I'll look.
Diane, yeah. What are your thoughts, Diane?
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah.
A biwa is a Japanese short-necked lute. And, the theme here, even though it's dark, it was so encouraging. It's like, you know, a lute, like even starting out, a temple stood ashore like a tree of hell. A lute doesn't give me the image that things are dark. But yet the lute has all the power, a bluish lute. The lute has all the power and is giving all the meaning to the words. And it's just amazing the way it's put together. A priest was said to sing to the moonlit water with his bluish biwa, playing tunes of grief. No one knew his shape, obscured in the time. Like, that's amazing. That stanza just stands right out. It gives a powerful image of what he's trying to convey with the lute, the power of the lute. And it's a beautiful power. Like I say, I like it. I didn't find the darkness overpower the message.
Great observation there. Knowing what that word means, it brings all this signification into the poem. Just a wonderful, wonderful write here. I love the uncanny night, the lute resounded low, gradually offshore, intermittently, like a shabby voice, straying to the doom. Isn't that, amazing wording there in that stanza, but all through. What did you think, Phil?
Well, I really liked this piece. I thought it was really a wonderful work. I had great thoughts throughout. But I really appreciated his use of color. He didn't use a ton of color, but where he placed it, it made an impact. And as well as his ending stanza. All the stanzas were good, but I kind of leaned towards this one. A sea of armored ghosts weeping out their past, listen to the biwa, full of purple sorrow. The pandemonium was empty, actually. It was just a good stanza, I think. Good solid ending on the piece.
Mm-hmm.
Nice work, Jack.
Yeah, and he's writing more and more now, Jack. And, we really, really appreciate him both, in all our contests. And, always wonderful, amazing writes that are so appreciated. So thank you so much, Jack, for just writing, you know, just writing, because your writing is just amazing. It takes us, you know, to places. It always takes us, you know, to the amazing, amazing places. So just thank you. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, Naomi, we have a poem called The Wait by James M. G. And Phil, would you – actually, no, I think it's my turn. I'll go ahead and read that one. The Wait. A kenneled violence incandescent, fluxing shades of sulfur and rust, cradled by a fury transcendent, ascending embers then become dust. Of anatomy's evanescence, as the crematory diesel combust, disconsolate and reminiscent, your ashes weigh more than they should. End poem.
I really thought that this poem carried such a powerful message, you know. He says in his AN, when you lose someone that left you for dead, but somehow you still loved, the container that holds your father up on a shelf, tapped shut. If ever you are going to forgive someone, don't wait, speak up. This is an amazing, powerful brevity here. Your thoughts, you read that so amazingly, Diane. What are your thoughts?
Well, I this is, again, it's sad. Can you hear me? I'm having technical again.
Yeah, loud and clear now.
Perfect. Okay, this one, you know, reading the author's notes, and if ever you are going to forgive someone, don't wait, speak up. That is so true, because that's what the weight is that he's talking about. The weight of not forgiving someone, and there's a quote that says, you know, or it's a saying that says, When you forgive someone, you open the cell door and you set the prisoner free, and you realize that prisoner is you. And he talked here of how that weighs him down, not forgiving his father. And he has the weight resembled in the ashes that he holds up on a shelf. It's just powerful and amazing and sad, because, yes, if we don't bear that weight off our shoulders, we live with it for life.
Yeah, it's so true what you say, Diane. You know, forgiveness is everything, you know, means so much, you know, and it to yourself, like you said, the weight that bears you down there is finally lifted when you do, you know, give forgiveness to somebody. Your thoughts, Phil?
Well, I have to agree with both of you. I mean, I think that the concept of this was wonderful. You know, I'm reading it and I'm going, okay. And then when I got down to the end, I went, aha, I had a little aha moment. It wasn't even a haiku. You know, as the crematorium diesel combusts, disconsolate and reminisce, your ashes weigh more than they should. And it all clicked in there for me, and I'm going, okay, yeah. Because, you know, forgiveness lifts such a burden from us all, and it takes that weight off of our shoulders to start with. So this just really encompassed that whole thought, and very well done, very, very well done in such a short piece. So great job, James. I really appreciated the work.
Yeah, this is the first time. Well, I went and got James' poem because I found it so amazing, this brevity. And, you know, first time he posted to the show, and I hope it won't be the last. I hope, James, we have other pieces from you, because you're just an amazing writer. And, Diane, where are we going next?
Okay, next we have a piece by our Weaver of Dreams, and it is called The Fifth Dimension, and it has a SoundCloud feel.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, here we go.
When I sleep, I soar with ease. Nothing can hold me down. Aloft on wings of gossamer, I watch over my sleeping town. I sense, but can't see, danger is near. I feel fear, then I'm disconnected. A mental ice hook pierces my skull as memories are neatly dissected. What's doing this? Why me? Then I see the danger. It's real. A grey mist with deadly intent is looking for its next meal. Eyes glare with hatred and spite, the most putrid evil I've seen. I twist into the fifth dimension and hide in that space between.
Just an amazing, you know, I think it was you, Phil, that said that Kate just has a voice for dark rites the other night, yesterday, I think. And, you know, she does, too. Her voice just, you know, is made for reading this. She should be, you know, like a voice, you know, doing voices or something on TV or something, because this is just amazing. And, you know, the rite itself, my gracious, you know, I twist into the fifth dimension and hide in that space between, just the way she ended this whole piece there. What did you think, Diane?
You know, Kate doesn't let us down. this is a beautiful piece. I enjoyed the darkness of it, but I enjoyed the message in it. The glossiness of life, the, you know, like a loft on wings of gossamer, like little spider webs of patches over our life. And, you know, the message that I see is I can't get out. I can't release myself. I sense but can't see. Danger is near. And the panic and eyes glare with hatred and spite, the most putrid evil I've seen. I twist into the fifth dimension and hide in that space in between. And that's where the fifth dimension is. The fifth dimension is somewhere we don't know. We never know. And to be able to put it into words and describe it is just, it's powerful. It's amazing. Really well done.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, well written, well thought out. And, you know, the flow of the whole thing, of the whole rite here, just amazing. It just flows so well, you know, and her read was incredible. Your thoughts, Phil?
Well, you know, I thought it was a wonderful dark piece. Excellent tale told, as a great audio, and it was very well written. It was a great story from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, I agree. I sleep, I soar with ease. There's something just in that first line there. When I sleep, I soar with ease. You know, just amazing. And the whole thing, the whole poem that followed was just as amazing. Just great work here, Kate. And hurry up back to us. She'll be back during the week of the 9th. 9th of June, and she'll be with us. So, and I think she'd be listening to this, because I had messages from her. So if you're listening, Kate, I hope you're having a good time in Spain and drinking lots of wine and having fun. And so where are you taking us next, Diane?
Okay, that was our last carryover. So
okay.
We are moving on to our theme of Lunar Blood Flower Moon and Open Poetry. So we have a piece. It's called Whispered Droplets by Debbie. And Naomi, would you give that a read?
Okay. By our Debbie. Whispered Droplets. I love that picture, by the way. Moonlit baked silhouettes neath waiting droplets, two tongues speaking one truth, draped his eyes wide open, watching, wondering, path of my way, lit between trees of forest, yellowing turn to nothingness. Daylight breaks as orange skies turn pale blue. Hunters' creatures fall where they may bellow. Heard on deafening ears, my whispers heard louder. This is amazing. You know, she uses the moonlight, you know, and the daybreak, you know, the way she describes them is just amazing. What do you think, Diane?
Debbie has a way with words and a way with style. And, you know, there's the best thing about a poem is its opening. And because if it grabs you on its opening, then you're hooked. And when she's like describing moonlit baked silhouettes, I'm hooked. I'm hooked immediately. I see the image. I want to see what's next. And it doesn't disappoint. It's amazing the way it goes through, and it captures the image of speaking our truth, of our speaking our truth. And she's talking of two tongues speaking one's truth. So it sounds like, you know, there's a discussion going along between both the parties of the truth and the whispered droplets that need to be discussed. It's just amazing. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, when she says, the bellows heard on deafening ears, my whispers heard louder. Amazing line to finish out with. And Phil, mm-hmm. your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I think that... I think she did a great job here, and I love that intro stanza as well, Diane. I agree with you. If you catch me in those first couple lines, you know, I got to read on. I think it was very well expressed. But moonlit baked silhouettes, neath waiting droplets, two tongues speaking one truth, draped in eyes wide open, watching, wondering. I just really enjoyed the piece very much. So nice job, Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie is a quite a writer. Just amazing piece, Debbie, here. Thank you so much for sharing. And where do we go next, Diane?
Okay, next we're going to go to another piece by Kitty, the Naughty Poet, and it's called Lunar Moon. And would you give that a read for us, Phil?
Yeah, give me a second. I got to drop it over on Brevity Writer. And... now that I did that, now I can open it up. Okay, Lunar Moon by Kitty the Naughty Poet. Oh, great image that is. Lunar moon, crimson beauty, bathe in the scarlet stream. Eclipse the magic of the alignment, stars point at lunar power. Whispers of chance in the breeze, creeping through the forest of trees. Scale of dragon, tooth of wolf, witch's mummy, maw and gulf. Bloodshot eyes witness in the Wiccan's cauldron, swirling the stars' power with a crimson stream. As the potion bubbles in toil and trouble, rising ruby steam to dance with the blood-red moon. And foam.
Yeah, she says, when I think of a lunar moon, I think of witches, and that got me to think of the rhyme. I just love this, you know, the mysticism and the magic surrounding, you know, an eclipse and the moon. So true. You know, there's something magical about that. I just love the word scale of dragon, tooth of wolf, witch's mummy, maw and gulf. And, you know, just amazing flow and rhythm in this piece. Captured me, just enchanted me. What did you think, Diane?
I just thought this was a great, great write to that image and a great write to no image. It describes the moon and beautifully, and then with the witch, you know, again, another one that makes me smile. I can imagine the witch, you know, stirring up her potion in the pot and stirring it around, and the potion bubbles to cause troubles. And it's just, it's so well done, so well put together. Excellent word choice. The word play is beautiful. And the, like I say, the image, it didn't need an image. It's just, it's powerfully done.
Oh, yeah. It's true. It's a standalone piece. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought it was a clever piece, and I thought it was well penned for sure. I like that intro stanza again, lunar moon, crimson beauty, bathed in the scarlet stream. Eclipse the magic of the alignment, stars point and lunar power. Whispers of chant in the breeze, creeping through the forest of trees. I think the imagery in that was really well done. So, you know, it was great imagery, and it was, it definitely made you want to, you know, keep reading and see where it was going. And I thought that the couplet in the center, was a couplet, wasn't it, or was it just one line? God, the couplet in the center, I think, just upped the intrigue a little bit more before it led you into the end. And I think it was just a nice, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I agreed that it didn't need the image to make it work. Not for sure.
Yeah, indeed. You know, it's so wonderfully written that you don't even need the image. Just amazing. You know, she created a whole tale, a whole magical tale of bubbling potions and witches and, you know, and dance, witches dancing and, you know, to that lunar moon there. Just amazing, amazing right there, Kitty. Thank you so much. And where are we going next? Diane.
Next I have put up Blood Orange by Jack Blue, and I'll go ahead and read that. A Blood Orange. Luna, let me paint the lights of your orange embassy, mirroring Apollo's flame, pianissimo allegro, far above the Olympian hill, full of cosmic fantasies. Luna, will you really leave this pathetic planet Earth? Soon or later, silently, as bright orange memories blooming madly on the sea fade out to oblivion. Luna, can I photograph your blood orange actually to remember you adagio and conduct myself a tempo when the clouds reverberate with your shadows anyway? End poem.
There's another amazing write by Jack Blue here. You know, I love how he's talking to Luna, the moon. Let me paint the lights of your orange embassy, mirroring Apollo's flame. And then he brings in the music. You know, he does that so often in his poetry, and I love that. He brings in music. And, you know, just amazing imagery here created. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I have to agree with you 100%. I like that intro stanza, but the other two are just as wonderful. As well as you, I like all the musical references he adds to his poetry. And he does it quite often that I've seen. Now, I haven't read a ton of his stuff, but I think that is one of his signatures in it. And, you know, again, the color, you know, the blood orange and the way he brings it into play was nicely done. So definitely great imagery and great thoughts behind it.
Yeah, I agree. The color, too, that he brings into it, just amazing. Amazing imagery there all through, I agree. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, this was beautiful. It's, I have to agree with Phil. The imagery that he put in this and pulled out the concept of the blood orange moon, it's just very well done. The words chosen and the movement, the movement that goes with the music. I don't know. I'm partial to pieces that put movement into their stanzas like that. It just, it flows and it carries a momentum with it. And I like the way the movement and the music go together, the adagio and the tempo. It's just beautifully well done and excellent imagery.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, the movement, it's true. You feel it, you know, when you're reading it there. Just amazing. Another amazing write by Jack Blue. Thank you so much. And Diane, where are we going next?
Next, my friend, we are going to a piece called Gilded Dawn by Wright and Stuffs. And Phil, would you give that a read for us? Sure.
Yeah. Gilded Dawn by Wright and Stuffs. A dawning truth breaks the amber skies, and I watch white cedars celebrate its elation. Light play tickles my brain cells in tones of sepia, gold, and verdigris. The cirrus seems content with its travels, gifting hope of new beginnings. End quote.
I just love, you know, the color in this. The amber skies, the white cedar, you know, the sepia gold, the verdigris. That's the first time I see that word. It fits so well in this poem. And, you know, just the amazing message here of, you know, the new hope, a new dawn, you know, with the clouds, the cirrus seems content with its travels, gifting hope of new beginnings. Just an amazing, amazing brevity, so well written, you know, so concise and so, you know, such a deep, powerful message of hope in such a short few lines here, so beautifully written. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, this is amazingly well done. The image, you know, in this one, I can see where the image did her justice. It's just so well put together. The cirrus seems content with its travels, and you can see the swirling of the clouds and the lines in the sky on the image, and it looks like they're just traveling through, and she captured that so beautifully. And then I love the last five words, gifting hope of new beginnings. It's just that wraps up the whole image and says, yeah, this is what it is to me, and it is so well done, so perfectly put out there.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. Just an amazing write here by Wright and Stuffs, and I hope that we see more, you know, more entries from this poet here, because just amazing writing. And Diane, I'm going to get there. Diane, where are we going next?
Next, we are going to Mooning Around Petals by Cress Terset. And I just posted it. I'm a little soul, and it has a SoundCloud.
Here we go.
Mooning Around Petals. Lolling on my stomach, I stroke the petals of a marguerite, a prima ballerina, fluttering unplucked amongst green-clad slim danseuses. My fingers flit around the lunar beams of this tiny sun, and I murmur, "He loves me," drifting coolly on the breeze with a cloud-wisp cuddle, then whirling off with other blue-eyed blooms, or lingering, moist lips along my back, a grass blade drinking his dewdrop, slipping with me through warm soil, writhing roots entwined. Madly, golden as his blood moon, bathed in every buzzing sunset and sunrise. Or not, like a withering flower, tugged and torn.
Wow, you know, this is amazing. I see an Ariane, she says, you know, he loves me, he loves me not. What a, you know, what an amazing right to that. You know, instead of saying he loves me not, so this whole poem is just stunning. You know, Cresterset has a way of writing that gets me every time. And, you know, in French, it's il m'aime, elle m'aime un peu beaucoup, passionnément, à la folie, pas du tout. You know, that's what we say instead of he loves me not. We say that phrase when we pick off the daisy petals. And she put that in her AM there. You know, just amazing. The flow, everything about this write, just a stellar write here by our friend, Cresterset. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, this is awesome. This is, it's dancing. You know, it dances. You dance through the poem. The prima ballerina fluttering, the way she describes the petals of the marguerite, I'm not saying that right.
Marguerite. Yeah, that was it.
Okay. The way she describes it and then talking about, like, she's got a dance going here and a love story and a love poem. And I love the way she put that in her author's notes. He loves me not. That's exactly what I was thinking when we were reading this. Is like, I could imagine someone going, he loves me, he loves me not. It's just a beautiful piece.
Oh, yeah. Lingering moist lips along my back, a grass blade drinking his dewdrop. You know, it's so sensually beautiful and soft, this whole thing. You know, you just feel the freshness. A kind of freshness, you know, all around this poem. Just, you know, a spectacular writing here. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was just a really wonderful piece. I thought that the imagery was good. The thoughts throughout were wonderful. I thought it was well composed. And, great imagery and well composed. That's what I said here. And just a wonderful piece. I really loved it. Great job.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for Cresterset. And, you know, for the SoundCloud, too. You know, it's so appreciated when we get a SoundCloud. And she has such a lovely voice. I mean, you know, such a sweet, lovely voice. You know, just a perfect reading voice. You know, so just amazing, that SoundCloud. Thank you so much. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, I have a piece up called The Midas Pen by Ephesiana. And Naomi, would you like to read that one?
Sure. Anything by Ephesiana. I'm a fan. The Midas Pen. He is unknowingly a master of chrysography. The grittiest of his tails have gold sediment. Each biting rhyme is gilded with a delicious glaze. Vocal about culpability, his word is 24 carat. In a world of pirate pretenders, he is genuine. My eyes linger on anything left by his Midas pen. Oh, you know, the way he took, this is so uniquely creative. You know, the idea of Midas, the god that, you know, touched everything. And was he a god? I think so. He touched everything anyway, and that tail and everything turned to gold. And for him to have a gold pen, just an amazing, well thought out brevity here by Ephesiana, just amazingly well written too. What did you think, Diane?
This was so well done. This is a definite Ephesiana piece. It's she leaves nothing out in pulling in and connecting with this Midas god and the touch and talking of the gold writings and the 24 karat words. And it's just amazingly well done how she put together this Midas touch of everything turns to gold when you write with this pen. It's just, and then my eyes linger on anything left by his Midas pen, and I'm like, ooh, go girl. You know, it's got a wonderful story to it about the power of the pen of this Midas god and writing and tying it all together. It's just well done wordplay, as always.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I said this was really very well penned, and it was an excellent take on the prompt, which was Christography, and which I had to go and look up really quick because I'm like, well, what are we talking about? I understand Midas, but the rest of it kind of left me an alert. But I think that she really, she nailed it because she's got all the references to gold, but the grittiest of his tales have gold sediment. Each biting rhyme is gilded with a delicious glaze. You know, it goes on each line. You know, she just really, I don't know, it was just a wonderful piece and well done, nicely worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Afasiana. And every time we have a piece from you, it's a real treat. So thank you so much. This is an amazing, amazing write. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, we have a poem called Letters from Tomorrow, and it is by Keiku. I'm not good with names, but Phil, I don't know if I'm on here. Phil, would you give that a read, please?
Sure. Thank you. Letters from Tomorrow by Keiku. Golden hour by the hallway windows, the evening glow painted resplendently. Your distant eyes glazed by the sunset, contemplating secrets with nearby clouds. Umbrellas bloom with touches of rain. You would serenade the empty piano room, your ballads too smooth to soothe the leaden skies in search of the horizon for an answer. When morning sun weaved verdant veils, you were draped in a curtain of light, quietly asked the gentle rays for their warmth to meld broken shards still left in your heart. End poem.
Oh, what an amazing write this is. You know, she says in her A.N., I might be the writer, but you will always be the words, and decided to do this poem in vignettes. So that's what those are, vignettes. You know, golden hour by the hallway windows. This just flows. You know, I can see that it just flows like a curtain in the wind, you know, just so soft and just amazing. What are your thoughts, Diane?
Oh, so spiritual, so warm and touching. And, you know, it's just, I loved it. I sat down to write to this same prompt yesterday or the day before, and I couldn't get anything to come out. I couldn't, but the prompt, I loved it. I might be the writer, but you will always be the words. And I could not come up with anything, but Keiku did a just amazing job here of taking that prompt and writing out the words to describe how this other person is the words to their poem. It's really well done. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it is amazing, right? You know, like I said, it just flows off the page, you know, right into your mind. Just amazing. Your thoughts, Phil?
Well, you know, I really like this piece. I liked all three of the vignettes. I think they were all just wonderfully written. But I think that there was wonderful imagery throughout, and our thoughts were very well conveyed. And I thought it was an excellent take on that prompt. So I really enjoyed it very much. Nice.
Yeah, and that prompt is amazing. You know, I love that little quote. Jealous of the poem, me too, and of the person that found that quote. And what an amazing quote to have a contest to. So well written here, KQ, and thank you so much for posting this. Just beauty on the page. And where are we going next, Diane?
Well, actually, Naomi, I think that contest is still open if you really like that prompt. It might be still open.
She won the bronze, but maybe that's for another one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it's for that one. Yeah,
it's for that one.
Close.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, so next we have a piece called On This Moon's Day by OpenX. And Naomi, would you give that a read?
Yes, I'm just going to refresh my page here. And by OpenX, On This Moon's Day. On this moon's day, I will arrange the words like the blocks to build the poem like an abode, revise it to be refined like the homestead plastered and painted. On this moon's day, all eyes from the earth's four corners will savor the vision and the flow of my verse. To see its light and feel it as love. Just a beautiful, beautiful poem here. I just love this. On this moon's day, I will arrange the words like the blocks to build the poem like an abode. And the way he finishes it out too. Just some amazing thoughts here put into this little brevity here. Your thoughts, Diane?
This on this moon's day, this is so encouraging and promising again. And it carries a, like I was reading the author's notes, he's trying to say he is going to write poetry on this day for the people around the world to read and be taught. And that's what this poem does. It touches you. It touches you right deep down within, and it's encouraging and it's warm. It's a very positive feeling of on this moon's day, this is what can happen. And it was built like a puzzle. Like you said, it arranged the words like the blocks to build the poem. And it's like a puzzle piece put together, and both stanzas really come out and fulfill the puzzle. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Very great, wonderful observation there, Diane. I see it was a front page pick 4 days ago, so well deserving of that. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I said it was very nicely penned, and I like the first stanza of two. The last one was good too, though. I liked how he started out. On this moon's day, I will arrange the words like the blocks to build the poem like an abode. Revise it to be refined, like the homestead, plastered and painted. What an interesting angle to come in on, I think. I thought it was clever and it was well thought out. So nice work, Abenex, and thank you so much.
Yeah, great thought there. You know, it is clever. You know, to compare, the words to an abode, the way it's built together, it holds together, the words being the building blocks. Just an amazing, amazing write here by OpenX. And Diane, where are you taking us next here?
Next, there is a poem called Moonlight Dream by Robert Polesky. And I have to hit the, here we go. I'll go ahead and get that a read. Moonlight Dream, for the moon to show her plump face. Bleed through the tourniquet of the cloud cover. The sky monarch shimmers over the garden nights, winks her smiling eye, sends harp strings of melted platinum through the bedroom window, drifts softly through the veins, empties my mind from the dark brooding. Sleep alone with my thoughts, dreaming of love that was not. Fetch the distant rivieres, make a wish to die under. The cloudless moon over the lotus flower, not to be lost in darkness. End poem.
This one gold, no surprise there. Just so beautifully and wonderfully penned, just the it just has like a whimsical touch to it. Just such amazing wording throughout this. Just superb flow, superb wording. Just amazing. Just so Robert Pilecki. he's just such an amazing writer. And your thoughts, Phil?
Oh, I think this was wonderful. I thought it was wonderfully penned, and I really felt for the beginning of the poem. Wait for the moon to show her plump face, lead through the tourniquet of the cloud cover, the sky monarch. Shimmers over the garden nights, winks her smiling eyes, sends harp strings of melted platinum through the bedroom window. Her softly out through the veins, empties my mind from the dark room. So what a beautiful image, or picture painted there. You can envision it as you're reading it, and I think that's wonderful. Just lovely. And great job there, Robert. Another great piece.
So well said there, Phil. I agree. It's amazing writing. And Diane, you read that so beautifully. Your thoughts?
This is beautiful. Moonlight, I have the belt. Robert here just described the moon. I've never heard the moon describe the sky monarch. And that's exactly what the moon is. In this picture and in any sky, it is the monarch. It shimmers over everything. And the way he captured the ripples on the water sends harp strings of melted platinum. I can see the platinum ripples and in the image, and it's just amazing the imagery that it pulled out, the word choice and everything just pulled out of that image. It's just beautifully well done.
I agree. Make a wish to die under the cloudless moon over the lotus flower, not to be lost in darkness. Just amazing. Just so well written all throughout. Bravo, Robert Pilecki. Amazing, amazing right here. And Diane, where do we go next?
Next we have a poem called Bear Hunt, Haiku Verses by Dennis Allen. And Phil, would you give that one a read?
There we go. Okay.
Bear Hunt. Oh my goodness. They used to call me Mama Bear. I get nervous.
Bear Hunt.
Startled crash started. Dog spray, shrill warning. Right. Thickets wandering. Black fur, golden maul, mane of age surrounds worn teeth, puff trembles subsides. Black flies buzz thickly, belt of gnats and swarming, blood taste, frenzy bite. Gray callus pads, thick, claws hide razor knife tips. Brute lazy lope stealth, wander search for food, omnivorous hunger search, tries poison berries. Red devils, club fruit, causes repeated retching, jello mass red gleam, ears perked in fur mat, brown bear must stalk a stink, nearby black bear hide. Greasy meal sought, entree replacing sedge field, grizzly seeks black spooks.
and home.
Wow. I he has an AM there. I have eaten black bear. This is more tender and tasty than the finest filet mignon. However, it must be cooked thoroughly because of tapeworm's presence. Oh, yuck. I have never shot a bear, but have had a dozen chances. I like how smart they are, smarter than pigs, which are smarter than dogs. Brown bears hunt and eat black bears. It's a bear-eat-bear world out there. Oh, I didn't know that they ate each other. Oh, yeah. Just amazing what you find out, you know, when through these poems. I didn't know that they were that smart and that they ate each other. But, you know, I'm stunned. I'm always amazed by how people can come up with these haikus and just string them together to make an awesome piece. And this is so well done here. Your thoughts, Diane?
Oh, this is really well done. I enjoyed this. It made me smile even when I read the tapeworms part. It's true. It is a bear world out there. And yeah, black bears do eat, or brown bears do eat the black bears. I grew up in eastern Canada and Newfoundland, and we'd often go out in the daytimes to check our rabbit snares because we'd snare our rabbits. And I actually had the occasion of seeing, I don't know if it was another bear, but it was a bear mauled and just pieces of a bear all over the place when we went to get the rabbit snares. And we thought it was another bear that did it. Bears don't do that. It is a bear world. They don't care. They want food. They take food.
Mm. Yeah, I read somewhere that, you know, the number one most dangerous animal on the planet, or one of the most dangerous animals on the planet, is the polar bear, I guess. So, yeah, so bears are, anyway, I wouldn't want to come face to face with one in the woods while walking, that's for sure. I don't know what I'd do. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a wonderful haiku chain. A great job penning the piece. Clever and well done. I learned a few bear facts today, and I thought that was pretty interesting. I did not know that they brown bears ate black bears, and, you know, I could have lived without knowing about the tapeworms, but hey, you know, things like that happen in learning. And I did not know the bear was more tender than filet mignon. That's interesting. I would have thought they'd be tough, I guess, because they're always running around.
Yeah.
Too often. Loping, lapping, whatever the word is. So, but interesting. Great job, Dennis.
Mm-hmm. Great job indeed, Dennis, and thank you for teaching us today bear facts. Oh, yeah, and from what you said, though, it's the brown bears that eat the black bears. Wonder if the black bears eat the brown bears, too. Maybe. Yeah, so just thank you, Dennis, for you know, it's an awesome IQ chain here. I hope you write more for our shows. And Diane, where does that take us next?
Well, you were...
Oh.
I just wanted... Hello?
I just saw my poem up.
I just placed it. But I just wanted to say first, Naomi, you're right about the polar bear. I actually just finished a competition on here about animals, taking on an animal face, and I was the polar bear. And I had to create a polar bear story, and I learned that polar bears eat their own cubs. Well,
mm-hmm.
eat their own cubs.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
And, you know, it's amazing.
The male
or
the male? I knew the male did,
think,
but
yes,
the female?
I think the males.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of read something about that. But, yeah, so next we have a piece up for you, Naomi, and it's called Yellow Mellow Guy.
Yeah, so this is supposed to be funny. it's like some of the dates I had, so I have the most awful dates. Oh, my gracious. So this is called Yellow Mellow Guy. The phone rings, and everything just stops. Oh, shit. It's Yellow Mellow Guy. My latest Tinder swiped right while asking myself, oh, hell, why? He had arrived with a drooling smile, half there, half aware, slurred out a slow, yo, hello, winked in a sad attempt to flirt, and shoved into my arms a gigantic bowl of yellow jello, grasping the doorknob so he'd stop swaying to and fro, and shouted out, look, I brought dessert. Now, don't get me wrong, jello's fine, not just ideal to accompany wine. Oh, geez, I'm not asking for no hero, but where has all the romance gone? Where are the men with chocolates, flowers, and beautiful songs and poems?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so your comment, Diane.
My comments on this, I love it. Yellow Mellow Guy. You know, like, yeah, you know, this is what you'll get today sometimes is jello and wine. And like you say, where are the chocolates and flowers and the songs and everything? Where's all the love gone? Jello? Like, you're going to bring me jello to go with my wine? Like, I can really relate to what you're saying, Naomi. What kind of dates are we getting, girl?
And you know, this is I had worse dates than this, but this actually happened to a friend of mine, and the guy, he sat there and he ate the whole bowl of jello himself, and he didn't even offer any to my friend, his date. So this actually happened. Feel your thoughts.
Oh my God. Well, it's truly interesting. I got to say that. But it's scary to know that there's some truth to this, Naomi. It's really scary.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of glad that I don't run into these folks. Absolutely. It was well expressed. I thought it was well written. A good touch of humor, you know, which I believe he brought with him. But I love the ending. Oh, geez, I'm not asking for no hero, but where is all the romance gone? Where are the men with chocolates, flowers, and beautiful songs? It's not really much to ask when you think about it. But nicely done.
Thank you, girls. Just having some fun. But, you know, when my friend told me that story, so I was just, but, you know, I've had awful dates. Tinder's the worst, you know. I know. So, anyway. So, where are we going next, Diane?
Okay, I think I went to the wrong place here. Here we go. We have, Explosions of Lily of the Nile by Omega AM. And would you read that, Bill, please?
I sure will. Let me put it over here. Okay. Oh, my God. Please excuse the dog. I don't know what his aggravation is, but...
What is it? He didn't like my poem.
Well, I think he liked it a lot.
Maybe he's the date.
Maybe he saw a bear. You never know.
He wants the jello.
Oh, maybe. You know what? I have to close my door, otherwise I'll never be able to read this.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least I'll be a little muffled now. Oh. To work this up. Okay. This is called Explosions of Lily of the Nile by Omega AM. They both came from Orthodox families. An arabesque night, they found each other. Love conquered. End poem. I could have got that in between parts.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, one of the comments said immensely creative, short, and, you know, to the, and very sweet. Just an amazing, very creative, I find. What are your thoughts, Diane?
This is short, to the point, makes a great three-line story. The message is they found each other, they found love, and love conquered. And what does that blue sphere illuminate except love? I mean, right from its center, sending out its rays of blue, you see love. And that's what the Arabic, how do you pronounce that? Arabesque night, they found each other. It's just amazing the way it was put together for this image, just short and sweet and captures everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very unique and very creative, very witty. Your thoughts, Diane?
I just want
me to. She messed up. I thought it was a wonderfully penned brevity. It was very, very short, three lines. But in arabesque night, they found each other, love conquered. I thought arabesque was a ballet move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, but to me that added some beauty to the words. It gave it some motion, some flow. So I think it was just really nicely done. And great take on the thought there.
Yeah, it is a arabesque. It's a movement, like you said, in ballet there. So an arabesque night is just beautiful words there put together. And I see it won the silver. So very well done, very witty, and what a clever piece. Omega, just a wonderful work here. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, we have a poem by Hat, and it's called Will o' the Wisp, and I'll go ahead and read that. It's there in myself. It sprouts in me. Hilly tenderness bites into the body. It's full moon. Shadows burned in the leaves. Ground with snake motif is shivering. Water licks my calves. Cold goosebumps run over my spine. Juicy dream dances in the tumultuous soul. Yet things are immutable, within reach. Only solitude under the skin. End poem.
Wow. This is such a complete and description of feelings. I'm just blown away with this. The hilly, it sprouts in me. Hilly tenderness bites into the body. It's full moon. Shadows burned. I can go on and on. I just love shadows burned in the leaves, ground with snake's motif is shivering. Just amazing that the way that she describes the feeling throughout this poem here, just amazing, and so, and sad too, with the ending, but the way the descriptions, oh my gracious, so witty, so clever, and so well worded and thought out the metaphors in here. My gracious, just a wonderful work here, Hats. Your thoughts, Phil?
You know, I thought it was, I thought there were lovely thoughts and imagery throughout. Very well penned, and I thought the emotions were well expressed. Great job, Hat. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure, you know. Well said there, Phil. And Diane?
Well, I read this because I was being selfish. I wanted to read another Hat piece. And it is, you know, it's like it's the will of the wisp. It's like the Hats put himself in there and pulled out from it down inside the will to write the words, the will to put together the structure, the will to show the world what's down inside. And I could see that, like, when I was reading it, especially the first stanza, it was like pulling things out, pulling everything out from the inside and putting it on paper. And it's just amazing how Hats did this. I see like a self, not a self-preservation, but a self-explosion. Like the self is exploding onto the paper.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, it is. It's just amazing, you know, amazing, amazing writing. She's so talented, her Hats. You know, every piece I write, I read from her, you know, is just exceptional.
Oh, my goodness,
and,
I have to apologize. I called her a he. My apologies, Hats. I'm sorry.
You know, I see that we have Laughing Soul on the board for since a while. You know, I'm you know, later or before the show finishes, maybe we can make an exception and put her piece up because she's been so faithful out there on the board. Just saying. So where do we go next, Diane? Oh, we have her piece up. Okay.
Ask and it shall be given, my friend. Okay, next we have Empath by Laughing Soul. And Naomi, would you give that a read?
Yeah, no problem. Soothing rain, calming pain. Soul that cares is just the same. Thunderstorms hold no qualms. Mistaken, never kind heart that warms. Sunshine bright blossoms night, hand that helps is guiding light. Lavas molten, fire abandoned, paths are opened by angels woven. Just a beautiful, you know, beautiful rhythm and rhyme in this short brevity. You know, I am not amazed there at all that she won silver on this. You know, the imagery throughout is just beautifully woven all through, you know, and the emotion that pours out from this poem, just amazing, amazing right here. Diane, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed this. This was a beautiful piece. Empaths are powerful. Empaths are like, I believe empaths take on whoever they're talking to, they take it on themselves and they put it through their own spirituality. Like soothing rain, calming pain, soul that cares is just the same. An empath takes everything from the person who's suffering and puts it all into and makes it all look like a little container of everything beautiful. And this was like the way this was written, it has an air of empathy from anyone reading it. You know, you feel for the calming pain, you feel for the soothing rain, and it's beautifully well done and well written. The imagery is powerful. it's a good piece. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very, very powerful, the imagery. That's an amazing, great observation there. I take that last stanza, lavas, molten, fire, abandoned, empaths, our poem by angels woven. You know, each three lines that are almost like standalone pieces by themselves. They're so beautifully written here.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was beautifully expressed piece. Great imagery and very well done. I thought it was a wonderful take on the prompt. You know, the prompt was, "Our greatest strength lies in the gentleness and tenderness of our heart," by Rumi. And I think that was beautiful. So nice work. Very well done, I think so.
Yeah, amazing, amazing, amazing right here by Laughing Soul. Very powerful right, you know, and well done. Very bravo. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, I put a piece up. It's called Real Light, and it's by Ben Picard. And Phil, would you like to read that, please?
Sure. Sure, sure, sure. Real Light by Ben Picard. The moon is out of reach despite my need to pull it from the space it occupies. I must then swap the roses for the weeds and gift to you these earthly fireflies. End poem.
Oh, that's just amazing. The moon is out of reach despite my need to pull it from the space it occupies. To swap the roses for the weeds and gift to you these like fairy flowers. Just amazing. You know, to receive a gift of earthly fairy flies, just amazing. The way he attacked nature here, you know, and the comparison of roses against the weeds, and you know, then bring in the fireflies at the end. Just amazing. Your thoughts, Diane?
I enjoyed this piece. Real Light. He said in the author, "It to be longer, but I realized it didn't necessarily need more." And he's so right. It doesn't need more. The message is so clear. Real Light. The moon is out of reach. And I love the way this was put together. Is like to pull it from the space it occupies. That's such a powerful image. Like you can pull the moon down to get your light. I don't think so. And then swap the roses for the weeds. It's like, hey, you know, the message is, the moon's gone. We can't get the light from the moon, so swap out the roses for the weeds and get the light from the fireflies. Light is light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so again, you know, such a witty and clever piece by Ben here. You know, I'm just amazed that when poets can come up with such a, you know, cleverness. You know, a unique cleverness in the rites, and here is a fine example. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with Ben. It didn't need another word, none. And, you know, in his author's note, he said this was meant to be longer, but I realized it didn't necessarily need more. No, it didn't need more at all. I thought it was wonderfully penned, and I thought the great thoughts shared here. Excellent work. Nice job, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah. It doesn't need a single word, extra word. I agree there with both of you. You know, it's so complete in itself. It says so much in so few words. Just an excellent right here, Ben. And where are we going next, Diane?
Next, we are going to a poem called Feeling of Alone by Raconteur. I will go ahead and read this. Feeling of alone. Sometimes I wonder, birds of a feather or just the weather? the sound of summer, wonder, preluding another. Drops of rain taste the rays and shade, stained on my face. Ocean flavored, love or sorrow, I don't know. End poem.
This is an amazing poem that expresses deep thought from, I see, Chris Gontersky is his name. I wonder, birds of a feather. Birds of a feather, that's an expression, isn't it? Birds of a feather in English? Birds of a feather or just the weather? The sound of summer wonder preluding another. Just an amazing write here. You read that so beautifully, Diane. Your thoughts?
Well, the birds of a feather is a English birds of a feather flock together, and that's
okay.
The same. And that's perfect word choice for this piece. Feeling of alone. Because birds of a feather, when you're alone, you're not flocking with anyone. You're just alone. And I just love the way that metaphor was used to pull out the feeling of alone and how descriptive it is of the feeling of alone. Drops of rain taste the rays and shade stained on my face. Love, ocean flavored, love or sorrow, I don't know. I mean, that is a definition of feeling of alone. It's just so well written, so well worded, really put an image in my mind of aloneness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Especially the drops of rain taste, the rays and the shade. Just the word shade in there, the shade that stained on my face. So that's such a powerful line there. It says so much. And your thoughts, Phil?
I thought it was a well done and sad piece. I thought it was nice work, definitely. I like the way that I hate to say I like something when it's sad or it's dark or whatever, but, I like the way that he worded all of this. Drops of rain taste of rays and shade stained on my face. Ocean flavored, love or sorrow, I don't know. So you don't know if they're happy tears or sad tears, but there's something missing here in its heart. So I think that it was just quite nicely expressed. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so well said there, Phil. Amazing emotion that comes out from this poem. It's so well written. Bravo, raconteur. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, next we have a piece up, Jessica D, and it's called Looking Up. And Naomi, would you give that a read?
Of course, for Jessica. I always love her writing. Looking up, head into the woods, stand in the clearing, surrounded by wind-pushed oaks, groaning, their bark born language. Let the rain fall, every plinking drop, bouncing from sudden hair, chasing eager rivulets over battle-scarred skin. Lift your face high, eyes searching, mouth yawning, scream at winter's clouds, guide me. Half-burnt marshmallows tossed into patterns, ridges, mountains of cats, wisp of dark hair, darker deeds long past, stare until the herd parts. End poem. This is so... there's a darkness in this, but the beauty of the nature here, just something just so powerful in these words. Lift your face high, eyes screeching and mouth yawning, scream at winter's clouds, guide me. You know, just amazing, amazing imagery all through. Just a fantastic, phenomenal write here by Jessica. Your thoughts, Diane?
I really enjoyed this. I think it's for me, it brought up a conflict inside, a conflict of not knowing where to go, a conflict of looking for some kind of direction, you know, a conflict of with yourself, and you have to look up to grasp the message and the answer that you're looking for. But how she builds in, well, first of all, the first stanza, surrounded by wind-pushed oak, groaning their bark-born language, like, what? That is a beautiful image. Three words thrown together that just put this massive image in my head of these oak trees speaking and calling out and trying to guide. It's just, it's amazing piece. Very well done.
Oh, yeah. Just such a, you know, the pieces of the half-burnt marshmallow tossed into patterns there, that whole stanza there, just such amazing creativity in this piece. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought there was wonderful imagery in this piece and a clever expression of thought. I thought it was very well done, and I thought that Jess did a great job with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, just incredible writing here. Again, you know, in these brevities, we find such wittiness and such unique creativity, I think you need that. You need to be so witty to write a stunning brevity. You need that. And just beautiful, beautiful writing here. Just stunning. And Diane, where do we go next?
You're right. These brevities are just like a little tiny package, but it's so big and beautiful. You know, these brevities that we're reading, they're coming out of little packages, but they're putting together powerful work. And the next piece we have is called Blue Blood Moon by Wild. And would you give that a read, Phil?
Sure. My lizard tongue slits my belly, eyes as the iguana dance holds, winged hands, bony like chrysalis, spine splashed on shadow walls, slipping down, anchoring my mind in fleeting fissures, conducting football, in my gut and the manic singer, cries for rehab. As the only color in my rainbow is a hewn blue blood moon. Either ink a tattoo of my reality half-hand made, dryness cracks my cuckold throat, tears splashing with diamonds and salacious sands unafraid. And so on.
Wow, another strong, powerful right here. You know, just amazing. Just amazing writing here. The iguana dances. The iguana dance holds winged hands, bony like chrysalis. Just love that. You know, my lizard tongue slits my belly eyes. It captured me right from that first line there. What did you think, Diane, of this poem?
Exactly what you just said. It captures you right from the first line. And, I mean, I'm always fascinated by poems that do that, because if you capture the reader right from the first line like that, you have them hogtied. Whatever you want to feed them is going to please them at this point. And that line just pulled me right in. I was, like, hooked, and I was like, I want more. And it delivered. It was excellent imagery, beautifully well written to the image. Just choice of words. I think here Wild's choice of words really put power into this piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well worded indeed. The imagery is incredible. You know, the amazing wording throughout. and feel your thoughts.
I think it was a great piece. A lot of great wording throughout. My lizard tongue slits my belly. Iguana dance holds winged hand. You know, then he incorporates a chrysalis. But then down here, what is it? Ankling my mind in fleeting fissures, conducting football in my gut, and the manic singer cries for rehab. You know, just great references, I think, and very well put together. So I think it was powerful. I agree with you there, Naomi, and I thought it was loaded with great imagery and very well. But nice job.
Yeah, amazing right here by Wild. And Diane, we have time maybe for one more piece or maybe one or two there. Where are we going next?
Next we are going to Happiness Maroon Memories by Rhonda Yazoo. Also, I have a good guy. With rapid steps, stunted barefoot, memories can course to resign existence. Wiggling their way through a dusty trail of despondency. Nervy pathos knives are out, volunteer to help to perform. A vexatious duty. Life's aspiration was faded fast. Grew blurry, thrown off a cliff, and plunging perilously toward the depths of the distress. Happiness was rebuked sternly. Emotionally scarred remained, in a sour, tremulous mood marooned, in a remote outpost of life predestined, as a destined, perturbed watcher, an irresistible impulse to conceal the feral, protracted gaze of despair, to release the robbed consciousness from its ultimate sense of stillness.
Wow, this is another amazing, you know, the way happiness is just unapproachable or unattainable. She expresses it so well and so deeply in her words, with rapid steps, stunted barefoot. You know, it's stunted, you know, a dusty trail of despondency. You know, she has the navy pathos, knives are out. You know, just happiness was rebuked sternly, emotionally scarred, remained in a sour, tremulous mood, marooned. Just an amazing write here by Rhonda. Your thoughts, Phil?
Well, you know, I thought this was a well-composed piece full of great imagery and phrasing. It was very much enjoyed, and I thought it was nice work. So, excellent job.
Excellent job there, for sure, Rhonda. Thank you so much for, you know, posting this and always being there for our shows. We so appreciate every piece. I see this one gold and a couple of silvers and, you know, just amazing. And it was a front page pick also 14 days ago, so bravo on that. And Diane, your thoughts?
Yes, I remember reading this as a front page pick, and then I saw it again. I'm not sure where, but this is the third time I've read this piece. And I like it more every time I read it. It's just so well put together, so well worded. The message is powerful. It's like you're standing in the middle shouting out your happiness and talking about what takes it away and what dismantles it and whatnot. It's just powerful piece. Well done. I've read it a few times, and every time I read it, I actually have to tag this one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just amazing writing again by Rhonda. We've had a couple of pieces now on our show, and each one is just amazing. And so with that, that's the end of the show, girls. I feel I'm so thankful, you know, for you to step in like that at a last minute and, you know, help us out. Just so appreciate it. And, you know, just a wonderful show with wonderful poems and brevities, you know, they're just more powerful each time we read them. And each from each show to another, I'm just amazed with the stunning work that's out there and the talent. And do you have anything to add, Diane?
No, this, you know, I just want to say every week that we do these shows, I'm more and more of a fan of brevity. I'm learning more about it, and I'm still not familiar with brevity, but I'm learning so much about the technique and how beautifully it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too, because I'm not a great brevity writer. And, I've started writing more brevity since I'm doing these shows. I'm learning so much, too. So anyway, so thank you, everybody who wrote for the show. Thank you, everybody who held the board out there, you know, Hats and Laughing Soul and, you know, I'm forgetting some, but, you know, all the people that were out there on the board, so appreciate you. And, I'll see you next time. And so good afternoon and have a nice day, girls.
Bye, friends.
Thank you. You do the
same.
Bye. Diane, take care of yourself. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.